My next guest is somebody who I find very much grounding. He comes at us with facts and he's very logical and he's just very enjoyable to listen to. So joining me right now is Kenneth Mokgatle. He's a political analyst, he's a researcher, he's a journalist. And a conversation that I've wanted to have with you for a long time, Kenneth, that I actually haven't, is just because neither one of us were available, was about getting your impressions. You were in Israel, you lived in Israel while you were studying. Getting your impressions about that. Oh, that's cute. That's a cute little baby next to you. Kenneth, how long did you live in Israel?
Evening, Kathy, and hello to the listeners at home. I was in Israel for just about 8 months. We went there towards the end of 2023, and then we just came back last year around this time, around August. That's when we came back. We were supposed to be there for 10 months,
yes.
But our trip had to be postponed from October due to the attacks by Hamas, and then it was postponed to December. So we left around the 5th of December. If not correct, I think around that date.
What were your impressions of Israel?
Yeah, as we were leaving, going there, knowing very well how the situation could be, we all were very scared and afraid. And I was confused as to whether to continue or not to go there, but I decided to go there because it was a lifetime opportunity to enroll for my master's via the scholarship that I got from BGU, Ben Gurion University of the Negev. And when we got there, the situation was quite different from what was being perpetuated in the media. So we were also welcomed by the staff that was very generous from the university, who even went beyond reproach. You know, they went to collect us from the airport, from Ben Gurion Airport, because obviously we were scared as to, are we going to find it easier to move from Tel Aviv to Beersheba, which are two separate or different cities.
Yes.
But they went to collect us, and then they took us to where we were supposed to be staying in Beersheba, and then they shot us around for a space of a week or two, which was a very good and generous reception by them. And the student in the university, just like the population in the country, they are very diverse in terms of race, in terms of culture, and other factors. So others are coming from other countries in Africa, in South America, in Asia as well, and in other parts of the world. And we were able to start friendship with them, to build those important relationship with other people from other countries. I think everything was just so perfect because we got the support from the university staff as well as the fellow students at the university. So life was just amazing, different from what we normally are fed in the mainstream media. And we were often taken to trips to go and visit other parts of Israel which we've never heard of.
Yes.
The first one was the city of Rahad, because we were based in the Negev desert.
Yes.
And they took us to the city of Rahad, where the Bedouin are staying. So I did not even know that there were black population in Israel. I thought the only black population in Israel were Ethiopians, Ethiopian Jews. But only to my surprise that there have been generations and generations of black people in the city of Rahat. And I even started a friendship or relationship with them because I was very intrigued. I wanted to find out, how did you end up here in Israel? And they were telling fascinating stories as to how their forefathers found themselves in that part of the world. So it was during the Arab slavery, and their forefathers were enslaved by the Arabs. That's why they are there even today, and they are living harmoniously together with the Arabs as well as with Jews. Yes, here and there are some conflicts which obviously happens between different people in every society, but they have got their own ways of always addressing those differences.
So interesting. So what was it like coming back to South Africa, where, you know, every second journalist is just kind of regurgitating you know, what they are being told to say, and we do know that they're told to follow a very specific narrative, where they start, you know, where they refer to Israel as like an apartheid state. Did you, because what I'm hearing is, I'm not hearing you say any of that, that you saw that there was an apartheid state in Israel.
No, there was no there was no apartheid or discriminative treatment on either the citizens or the students or any other people in Israel. I mean, we use the same buses. For example, when I went every Friday in the morning before Shabbat would start in the afternoon, then in the morning I would go to do my shopping, and then I use the same bus as everyone is using. You don't have those that kind of situation which existed in South Africa between 1948 and 1994, where people were divided into how they looked like or according to their pigmentation, the color of their skin. So people are treated the same way there, and people are offered the same opportunities according to meritocracy, whether they qualify or don't qualify. For example, I would go to the central station in Beersheba. That's where we do a lot of our shoppings, where a lot of the shopping complex is. And then you would always find soldiers, but you are not only going to get the Jews soldiers. So you'll find the Arab soldiers, the Ethiopian Jews soldiers. You'll also find the Druze soldiers, to show the diversity of the society. It reflects the diverse society of Israel. So it's not only in the defense force, but you also find the same in other units of the government. For example, at the university, you also have got the academics who are from especially the Bedouin community, because the universities, the main campus of the university is centered, it's premised on the land of the Negev. So you have got a lot of people from the city of Rahat. Even the students whom we shared that class with, we had around three students from the city of Rahat. So they are the main beneficiaries of that institution, as well as the development that is taking place in the city of Beersheba, which is, I think, one of the fastest growing city in terms of development in Israel.
Kenneth, I've always enjoyed what you had to say, and today, even more so. So thank you so much for just sharing your perspective. And thank you very, very much. I look forward to speaking to you again soon. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Listeners. All right, take care. Bye-bye. That is Kenneth Mokgatle. He's no stranger to Chai FM. He's one of our regular analysts. He's a political analyst. He's a researcher. He's also a journalist. And I've always wanted to ask him about that.